Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to the SB Nation NFL show. I am Rob Stats Guerrero from Niners Nation, alongside RJ Ochoa from Blogging the Boys, and Fairweather Phillies fan Brandon Lee Gowden from Bleeding Green Nation. What's up, BLG?
Stats, I can't believe you didn't think the Phillies were even going to win their wild card series against the St. Louis Cardinals, and now they're in the World Series, and they're going to beat the Astros in five games, so I can't wait.
Who would have thought that a team who lost 13 of their final 20 games, who was one of the lower seeds, would, you know, go through the dominant NL? Just, who wouldn't have foreseen that? Shame on you, Stats.
Sorry I didn't pick the Phillies to win everything. All right.
Hey, by the way, Stats, as somebody whose team has already been swept by the Astros this postseason, can you give Brandon a heads up on what it feels like?
It's not fun. If you're going to lose, don't do it in 18 innings. I'll just say that. Before we get rolling, I want to remind you, we are brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Use code SBNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That is code SBNFL only at DraftKings Sportsbook. If you are new to the show, we are going to preview every game of the Sunday slate. We'll even give you a pick for Monday. We'll do our pick three, our locks of the week, all of that stuff. But before we do, we got to start with Thursday night football. The Ravens get the 27-22 win. They run all over the Buccaneers in the second half. BLG, I'll give you the option. Do you want to start positive and talk about the Ravens, or do you want to start negative and talk about the Bucs?
I mean, it's hard not to talk about the Bucs. I mean, the Ravens deserve credit for sure. But I mean, the Buccaneers, like this, we're talking about Tom Brady being two games under 500 for the first time ever.
Ever.
Like, what are we talking about here? He's 40. He's been in the NFL forever. That's insane. It's an insane statistic. It's crazy. And it really just speaks to how the vibes have been so off in Tampa and how this so clearly looks like an end of the road situation for Tom Brady. And so weird that he retired and came back for this, like for this, this is what he came back for. So I think you absolutely have to mention it here. And in the context too of how, okay, going into this season, you're like, who are the power players in the NFC? Bucks are one of them. No, they're not. They might not even make the playoffs. They might not even win that awful NFC South.
I mean, I'm not the first or millionth person to say that it looks so uncomfortable and so awkward on the Bucs. I still feel like Todd Bowles' comment about how they can't be living in the Super Bowl isn't getting enough run. Like, if any team who'd won the Super Bowl in the last 5 years said that, like Brandon, if Doug Peterson had said that, like, in the year after the Super Bowl or 2 years after, it would have been, like, a massive thing. It would have been, like, calling out those people. We talked, Brandon, on the mixtape this week about how nobody really cared that the Rams won the Super Bowl, right? Like, Stats, I know that you weren't really even, like, bothered as a team, as a fan of a team who's in the same division. I kind of feel like we're that way about the Bucs. Like, the Bucs were in this, like, NFL irrelevant box prior to Tom Brady's arrival there, and it kind of feels like they're fading back into that. Like,
they will return shortly. That's right.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like it was so, like, it is this big story. Like, yeah, he's two games below 500, whatever, blah, blah. But it's so, like, insignificant to me. Like, it wasn't, we talked about baseball. Like, it wasn't competing with a baseball playoff game. It wasn't competing with anything. I know there were NBA games on. But it was just kind of like blah. Like, it's uncomfortable. It's awkward. There's no energy. There's no juice. It's just painful and boring. And I feel uncomfortable watching the Bucs. I'm happy for the Ravens. I've believed in them way before either of you. So good for them getting on the right side of things. But yeah, this Bucs energy is really mysterious.
They scored their first touchdown in the first quarter the entire year last night. Leonard Fournette runs a touchdown in the first quarter. That was the first quarter touchdown Tampa Bay has had in 2022. They have Tom Brady at quarterback. That is insane. I don't know if that goes to Byron Leftwich. Maybe the game script is not good coming out of the gate, whatever the case may be. That's how just, frankly, boring it has been for the Buccaneers. And, you know, we have talked forever, right, about Tom Brady's going to fall off the cliff and this is going to be the year. This is what that looks like, right? Like, that's what we are watching now. Do we suddenly expect Tom Brady's play to improve and go back to the Tom Brady of old? Or do we think that this is just it, BLG?
I think this is kind of it. I mean, the offensive line certainly isn't helping him. But as you talked about with Mark Schofield on the Wednesday show, you can't just use that alone as the excuse. It's not like that one thing. It's, as we say often on the NFC East mixtape, more than one thing can be true. But yeah, I just think it's not there anymore. And just, you know, not to play body language doctor, but to play body language doctor, look at Tom, just look at him out there. He's not having fun. He's not enjoying this at all. Not that like Tom Brady's usually like Mr. Happy Go Lucky, but like he just looks like miserable and frustrated, and nothing is ever easy or fun. So like, how does that team go on a run? Like, how are the vibes right for that squad? They're just not.
I will say, on the subject of multiple things like can be true, sometimes it's just one thing being true also, though, like in addition, like one main thing. And so I think people, like you mentioned, Brandon, Stats is a conversation with Mark. Mark is the GOAT, obviously, when it comes to evaluating stuff like this. Like, okay, there are a lot of other extenuating circumstances, but it's also like he's bad, right? Sometimes it's just like a simple truth in addition to like other smaller truths, right? Like Tom Brady is playing poorly this year. Aaron Rodgers is playing poorly this year, right? Like those things are true. We don't have to like explain. And I know that neither of you are doing that. I do think it's like ironic that this might, I don't know if it's the worst division he's ever played in, but it's like, you said, why did he come back? I remember thinking when Sean Payton retired, like how is Tom Brady going to retire and walk away from like the easiest playoff ticket of all time, right? Like he can sleepwalk his way to an NFC South title, and he still could, right? Like they're still in the mix. I feel for the Ravens, though. They're not getting any love, but the Bucs are just that. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. Again, they are truly one of the more insignificant teams in the NFL once again, even with Tom Brady on their roster.
And actually, we just got a little bit of breaking news during the show. And I know that some people were talking about how much they were mentioning Tom Brady's personal life during the broadcast. Some people were uncomfortable with that. Well, Tom Brady has just tweeted out that he's officially divorced. He's announced his divorce from his wife, Gisele Bündchen, after 13 years. And a lot of people think that, you know, that could be understandably weighing on Brady throughout this season. That's a very sticky situation. You've got children involved and custody and all that stuff. That is a lot to handle. And so I don't know what this means for the future. Is it a relief to Tom to at least have some sort of resolution to the situation? And maybe now he can focus better? Or like, look, divorce is really friggin' hard to deal with. And you don't just wash your hands of it the second it's finalized. So I don't know if his play is going to be better, worse, or not affected at all. But the divorce news is official.
Well, I think there's the juxtaposition of Tom Brady being, you know, this robot, you know, like this guy who comes in and year out and just dominates, and it's inhuman. But he is a human being, and actually, in fact, and athletes are human beings too. And I think one would be, you know, whatever you want to talk about this, we would be remiss to not mention this at all. Like, it's absolutely a factor in the equation. Like, you can't just pretend like it's not happening. It's happening, and it could absolutely be having a big effect on him. I don't think it's necessarily the only reason. It's probably age and a poor offensive line, and him, just a lot of things coming together. But it's certainly part of the puzzle here. And I don't know that this is going to provide him resolution. This is like a process that he's going through. And in many cases, not that I'm a divorce expert, but I from what I understand, like they're drawn out and complicated, long processes. Because you have the emotional part of it all versus like the logistical part. And you mentioned Stats, there's children involved. So there's a lot of moving parts here. And I've been thinking, and I don't think it's going to happen, but like the question has come across my mind multiple times this season. Is Tom just going to walk away like in the season at some point? Because like what's left here for him at some point? Like, is he, so let's say, you know, the Bucs are like out of it, and they might not be because their division is so bad and NFC isn't that great late in the season. But like, what if it's like week 17, week 18, and the Bucks are clearly out of it. Like, is he still playing at that point? Like, I've thought about it.
On the subject of the divorce, Stats, I saw you right before we started streaming, tweeting back and forth with our great friend Kate Mogdrew. And I mean, I don't have a hard take on this. And I don't think you guys are applying the levels of discussion around this that make me uncomfortable. I think there are a lot of people getting jokes off about this. And I mean, it's his personal life. There's children involved. Like, that's just, you know, whatever. But I agree with you, Brandon. I mean, like, we've all been spread too thin, right? Like, at some point in our lives, like work, personal life, whatever, like activities, high school, whatever. Like, I saw also a tweet this morning. I only saw the tweets. I haven't read the article, but from Awful announcing that Fox is reportedly planning on involving Tom Brady in their Super Bowl coverage. So it's like this, like, you know, like this dude, like, you know, you got to sleep. You know what I mean? Like, you got to sleep. You got to eat. You got to whatever. Like, so it seems like he's got a lot going on. Obviously, there was a lot made about him attending Robert Kraft's wedding and things like that. Like, it just it kind of feels like time. It feels like past time. Right. And that's, you know, you never thought. You're either the guy who walks away too soon or the guy who holds on too long. And Brady went from the former to the latter over the course of a few months this past offseason.
And it's like, what is one more Super Bowl really going to do for time? He's already the greatest quarterback of all time. And I say this as a lifelong 49er fan, and it pains me because I think that Joe Montana sort of had the prevailing argument before Tom Brady.
He sort of passed him a long time ago. Yeah.
No, I know. But like, and it's clear, like, there is no argument for any other quarterback now, but like, so another Super Bowl for Brady, like, okay, congrats. Like, but you, once you're at the top, you can't get any higher. So look, it's his life. He can do what he wants to do. He obviously loves playing football. He's been a football player for like, what, three quarters of his life, probably even more than that, literally of his existence on the planet. This is who he has been. And it's,
I was thinking about
hard
that, like,
to walk away from.
Did he, I thought about it last night, 'cause it was on Amazon, obviously. Like, was he a quarterback in the NFL before Amazon existed? And like, I might be off by a few years, but like, does anybody know when Amazon was like invented? I know that's not the proper term, but like founded.
Yeah. Founded?
Like, yeah. Well, whatever. Invented is somewhat applicable. Like, he's got a, like, it's probably coming close. I'm going to guess like Amazon was founded in like 1999 or something. So Brady would be pretty close in that respect.
I think it started out under it started out under a different name in 1994. Kadabra. Is that a thing? I don't know.
Disappeared.
Anyway,
abracadabra.
Poof. Really quickly, I do want to mention this about the Ravens, because they did win the game. They ran for 204 yards in the second half of this one, and they have averaged 7 yards a carry for 7 straight games. That is absurd. A lot of people are talking about how the running game is coming back this year. Yeah, in Baltimore, it's alive and well, and they are steamrolling people right now, BLG.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Also, Isaiah Likely deserved a shout-out. I mean, he was a beast in the preseason, and everyone was talking about him. He was great last night, 6 receptions, 77 yards, and a touchdown. Also had the game-sealing onside kick recovery and did the nice
sick
little
touchdown, too, by the way.
Yes, it was. And go-to-sleep motion after that, so I like that. I think that's a good job by him. And just kind of really crazy how the Ravens have Mark Andrews and this guy on the roster. Like, they're pretty stacked. I know Andrews got hurt, but to have that guy as a backup is great. I think this was an important game for Lamar because his passing numbers from the past 4 weeks before Thursday, he was at 59.6 completion, 5.9 yards per attempt, 3 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and a 70.4 passer rating. So that he was kind of slumping there for a bit, and I think he broke out of it here. And that is such a critical time, too, because you just saw – the Bengals are dealing with this Jamar Chase injury now. Like the Ravens are reestablished, or not that they already beat the Bengals, I realize that, but they're kind of like, you know, solidifying their spot at the top of the AFC North, which is really important for them.
I know you can play this game with a lot of teams because the NFL sucks this year. But the Ravens' upcoming schedule at New Orleans on Monday Night Football, then their bye, the Carolina Panthers at Jacksonville, Denver at Pittsburgh. At Cleveland with Deshaun Watson back. You don't know what that's like, obviously. But, I mean, they're very well positioned. I do agree with you, Brandon. Not like they lost, but that it seems like they've done really well to stop the skid that came from losing with the Giants a couple of weeks ago. They're a contender. I mean, we sit here and everybody loves to talk about, like, oh, the top three, top two, whatever teams in the NFL right now. I mean, you've got, obviously, Buffalo and Kansas City in the AFC, but I would put Baltimore right there behind them ahead of Cincinnati. Just obviously we've seen them play one another, but I do think it's very close. I think they're clearly the 4 best teams in the conference, but Yeah, good for the Ravens. And Lamar, by the way, holding up the pay 'em sign at the end of this. I know we wrote about this at SB Nation on Friday morning, but like that's a still existing storyline, right? Like there's a lot going on. So we kind of like forget about this. Like, hey, Ravens, you're going to have to pay this dude at some point. And if the numbers are not wonderful, so what? Like if you're going to win the division, if you're going to be a playoff team, like all that's going to work to Lamar's defense.
Look at BLG. He hates that. He hates that you just said that. I could see it on his face. He's like, nope, that's wrong.
Well, he's an Orioles fan, so he's upset how they like share the parking lot or whatever. So
I don't need to rehash my Lamar thing. Great, amazing regular season player so far.
Oh, jeez. What a backhanded
objectively
compliment
true.
That is.
Right, Justin Herbert, awesome playoff player. Right, for sure.
All right, congratulations, Baltimore. You get the win. We're going to take a quick break and preview all the games. But first, we'll do our pick three, which is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Use code SBNFL for a special offer when you sign up. The offer is so special, we can't tell you about it here. That's code SBNFL only at Draft Sportsbook. Let's start with our lock of the week. And I'm really taking a walk of shame on these locks. I am terrible. I lost again last week. One win on the season for me. I do have a couple pushes in there, but terrible showing by me. RJ, you got to win. BLG, you got to win. Brandon, you are currently at the top of the standings at 6-1. RJ is 4-3. I am 1-4-2. You have honors, 26. BLG. Go ahead.
Listeners, listen to me. Don't listen to them. Listen to me. I will make you money.
I hit last week too.
I'm 6-1, baby. I've only lost one time,
You're
and I was
five,
doing a
just
bit.
To be clear.
I was 6-1. I'm 6-1, and I did it. I was doing a bit. As you know, an emotional hedge in the only game I lost, and I made that clear prior to that. Just to be clear, anyway, I am going with the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders can thank me for winning this week. They are 1-point favorite, so almost a pick 'em in New Orleans. What do the Saints have going for them? The vibes are not right. They're running with Andy Dalton. I'm not really concerned about the Raiders playing on the road in the Superdome when the Saints don't even have a ton of juice right now. And the Raiders are coming off a blowout performance over Texans that I thought was encouraging for them. Raiders also played tough at Arrowhead, so I think they can handle playing on the road. If you just look by different metrics, the Raiders are the better team, like 19th in DVOA. Saints are 25th. Raiders are 11th in point differential, despite only having two wins. The Saints rank 27th in point differential. The Saints rank 32nd in ESPN's pass rush win rate. I think Derek Carr is going to be able to have a big game through the air. I also like what Josh Jacobs is doing right now. I know the Saints typically have a good run defense. Doesn't really matter. I think when it comes to Josh Jacobs, I think he can have a lot of success. Also don't love the weird Alvin Kamara vibes that seem to be going on with like there seems to maybe he's going to get traded. He's tweeting stuff. So I just think the Saints have bad vibes. I think, and this is almost a steal. It's a pick 'em, and the Raiders are the better team. I know they're on the road, but I will take the Raiders. Lock it in.
Josh Jacobs, good for you. Nobody saw this coming, even the Raiders. So shout out to them for that. I don't feel comfortable betting on the Raiders, but you have the record to stand on, certainly, Brandon. Again, if you stand, you'll be taller than 6'5". But I stats think that a lot of people, including Niners fans, are overreacting just a little bit. All right, look, you got worked by the Chiefs. So what? It happens. Everybody chill out. Everybody calm down. There's no reason to think that this isn't a playoff team. This isn't a very good team. Another week getting Christian McCaffrey, the panic trade piece that you didn't want to admit on, involved in the offense, et cetera, et cetera. Plus, you're playing one of the bigger frauds in the NFL. The Colts are king of the frauds, don't get me wrong, but you're playing the LA Rams. The Rams' problems didn't go away just because they were on bye. They have the same offensive inefficiency. Brandon mentioned DVOA 23rd in terms of offensive DVOA. Gross. And like they're really bad on offense, and they, for whatever reason that nobody seems to care about finding out, want to trade away the best running back on their team. It's like, oh yeah, Cam Akers has played his last down for the Rams. Why? Why doesn't anybody want to ask that question? Like, what is the big thing that happened there? The vibes are awful with the Rams as well. And I do think that the Niners own the Rams and own reacting to getting embarrassed. I trust the Niners as 1.5-point favorites to cover quite easily against some frauds out in Los Angeles.
I appreciate the support, RJ. All right.
Gotcha.
I'm going with a new method this week because, like I said, I have been terrible, just absolutely terrible. So, look, I'm going to try something else. I'm going to switch it up because I literally can't be any worse, right? I might be as bad, but I can't be worse. So I am taking the Giants +3 against the Seahawks. I'm not going to lie. I literally randomly scrolled around the screen. I pointed to the screen. My finger landed on the Giants. That's why I'm going with the Giants. I never thought they'd have the record that they have this year. I never thought they would be anywhere close to this. Daniel Jones looks relatively competent. DK Metcalf is hurt. Geno Smith is good, but the Giants got something cooking here, man. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. Again, this is totally random, but it can't be worse than what I have provided you so far. I'm desperate. I'm flailing right now. So give me the Giants. I'm getting points in the game. I'll take the 3, and I'll take the Giants.
Seahawks are going to win. That'd be my, if I couldn't, pick the Seahawks because I picked them last week as my lock. I was considering the Seahawks, so.
All right.
Well, I toyed around with locking this game up on the NFC's mixtape and then changed my mind. So good job, Stats.
Great. Let's go to the same game parlay. We are going to go to Sunday Night Football. I'm just going to point out last week, BLG and I did our part on the same game parlay. We both hit. RJ screwed it up for you. He had Austin Eckler over 84.5 rushing yards. Who thought that was going to happen? I don't know.
Right. On he hasn't year, had success on the ground this season. Right. For sure.
Me and BLG are 3-4 in our same game parlay picks. RJ is just 1-6. This week it is Packers at the Bills. BLG, I will give you the honors. Where are you going first?
Yeah, we bet big on Kenneth Walker last week, and he showed up. And I think he will continue to show up for Seattle, also making your lock bad. But anyway, I am taking another running back this week. I am going with Devin Singletary over 49.5 rushing yards. Josh Allen was just talking about how they call Devin Singletary Motor. It's his nickname because they you know, he just works and he grinds. Bills are coming off their bye. The fact that Josh Allen trusts Singletary so much, I think, speaks well for his usage, you know, when it comes to pass protection and all that. So getting those reps and snaps is important. Packers have allowed the second most rushing yards to running backs this year. Devin Singletary is averaging 42.7 per game. It's just under this prop. So I think he can have an above average game here and hit the over on that. And, you know, the Bills could very well get up in this game and be able to run the ball a decent amount, having a favorable game script. So give me the over on 49.5 rushing yards for Devin Singletary.
The vibes for Green Bay are so bad right now. As soon as I saw this, I was like, how are we not going to pick something going on with Buffalo? Because there's literally nothing good happening with Green Bay. My pick this week is Gabriel Davis to be an anytime touchdown scorer. I think it's everybody into the pool this week for Buffalo. What are the Packers doing well? They're not giving the ball to Aaron Jones enough. Aaron Rodgers is publicly calling out teammates for mental mistakes when he's the one making mistakes half the time. The coach is defending Aaron Rodgers for calling people out. The defense has been a massive disappointment for Green Bay. What do they have going on that's good? Their big move that they're rumored to maybe make before the deadline is acquiring AJ Green? No, thank you. Everybody into the pool for Buffalo this week. I think everybody's scoring this game, so I'll take Gabriel Davis anytime touchdown scorer.
Yeah, it's almost like Aaron Rodgers narcissistically commanding all the attention and doing none of the work, like, has some consequences. Like, who would have thought? I will say I actually thought about locking up the Bills. Obviously, it's a lot of points to lay. But I wanted to. But you know what? I decided let's talk about obviously here. I've been really bad, as Stats has mentioned very kindly. Thank you, Stats. I'm trying a new strategy, too. It's not close my eyes and hope I get lucky. It's pick the lowest hanging fruit. Right. Like, and let's just take that. So I will take Stephon Diggs anytime touchdown score plus 100. Simple. Like, let's just get on the board right now. This is like the episode of The Office where Pam says, just get dressed. You know what I mean? Just get dressed. We'll figure it out. I got to get dressed right now. I'm still in my pajamas. I thought it's weird when people wear robes. Like, who wears robes? That seems so awkward to me. Like, why wouldn't you just wear normal clothes? I find the idea of a robe to be strange. Yeah. So give me Stephon Diggs. Super easy.
So that is our same game parlay. Good luck to us and good luck to you. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will run through all of the games in week number 8.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work.
questions, including what are we missing when we work remotely, or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out. Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Back here on the SB Nation NFL show, we are going to give you our thoughts, analysis, and picks on every game on the slate, unless one of us gets zapped, in which case we are not allowed to make a pick on the game, or to give our analysis, I should say, on the game. We can only give a pick. It's very frustrating when it happens to you, I do have to admit. Rachelle is producing for us today. She's also given a zap for this week. This is like an inaugural producer zap that we have. So everybody's got to be on your toes here, and away we go. Let's start in London, where the Broncos and Jags square off. The Jaguars, gentlemen, are favored by 2.5 points. I never would have thought that coming into this game, but RJ, that's where we are.
Did you, either of you, any of you see Justin Tucker make fun of Russell Wilson? Did you guys see this?
Yeah.
No.
On the plane ride home, he did the, like, just joked about the high stepping, whatever. and so it just kind of went viral. There's been enough hurled at Russ, and I'm not trying to, like, you know, not say there's not a reason to do that. But, like, seriously, does anybody in the NFL, like, respect them? You know, like I really feel like it is sort of universally agreed that they are this joke. There was like the weird, I don't know how legitimate report that if Nathaniel Hackett lost this game, that the Broncos were going to fire him, which would be just an all-time, just big time L. I'm not going to pick the Broncos. I have no idea. I will say, like, Broncos fans are not handling this well. Like, dude, this, y'all gassed this team up like no other. This, everybody involved made this bed. I don't feel for anybody here except for maybe Bradley Chubb, who's producing. I'll take the Jaguars. No way. I'm not going to make the let's ride puns or whatever. I know a lot of people want me to do the Russ impression. Russ has to earn the impression back. All right. Like, he's not good enough for me to do the impression.
I really don't want to watch this game, but a couple of things that I can say to just give some, I guess, relevant stuff to it is that, first of all, the Danger Witch was taken off the menu. I saw at Subway after the ad campaign got weird.
Because it's embarrassing also to be associated with him right now. It really is.
You guys need to check out that video I sent you in Slack. It was like an Instagram reel where it's like Russell Wilson, but dubbed over. They had Russell Wilson in that Danger Witch commercial, but they put it over like the Joker scene in the Batman movie where he's like at the party and with the knife and everything. It just, because it's the context is it sounds like this like unhinged, like serious, like psycho, rant.
Because it's just the calm moment of the Joker, like introducing himself.
Yes, yeah. It's right. So it's really good. It's incredibly well done. The other thing is, if you go by our SB Nation Reacts polling data, which you can sign up for on any of our team sites here, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the Broncos have the lowest confidence rating in the NFL. I think it was down at 5%. Bad times. I'll actually take the Broncos because here's why. Trevor Lawrence freaking sucked last week. And stats, I have to give you credit, buddy, because you were early on that. And, you know, I was trying to give him some grace with Urban Meyer being there, but he stunk. He was so bad. He left multiple touchdowns on the field. He was just so bad against the Giants. A competent quarterback wins that game last week, and he was not. And I just can't trust him right now. So I will actually take
the Broncos, even though I don't feel good about them at all.
It is such an all-in move by the Broncos to hire. First of all, they hired their coach to get Aaron Rodgers. He didn't come. Then their backup plan is Russell Wilson, and neither one of them looks like they have any clue what they're doing this year. Nathaniel Hackett can't manage the game. He had to go hire another coach to help him manage the game early in the season. Russ just looks completely discombobulated. I don't like Trevor Lawrence, as you said, BLG, but it is so bad for the Broncos right now. I have to take the Jags and give the points. I don't really like either one of these teams, to be honest with you, but this is sort of where we are. Yes, RJ?
What if they had gotten Aaron Rodgers? Like that would have been a miss, right? Too. You know what I'm saying? Like that is like a forgotten or an overlooked
detail. That's fair. That's a fair point. And yeah, I guess they sort of dodged a bullet. I don't know, but they also signed up for Russell Wilson for like many more years. So yeah, good luck, Broncos. Enjoy that. Let's move on to the Cardinals. They are in Minnesota to take on the Vikings. The Vikings are giving 3.5 points in this one, BLG. What do you like?
I don't really fully trust the Vikings to be quite as good as they've been. But I also, okay, actually, yeah, then yeah, I'm going to go with that. I think the Cardinals, I also don't trust the Cardinals a ton, but the Cardinals with DeAndre Hopkins are very much a better team. I believe in that team more so. And even if they can't win, I like that half point there. I think they can make it a competitive game. I think it could be a field goal kind of game. So even if the Cardinals don't win, which I'll say they have a chance at the upset, I'll take the points here.
I think that some teams zapped in the NFL.
You zapped.
Vikings.
Wow. All right. I'm going to go with the Cardinals in this one. I like your logic, BLG. It'll take the points. It is wild to me how one player for the Cardinals can make so much of a difference on offense, but their offense is incredibly different with DeAndre Hopkins back. They put up over 40 points against the Saints, and the defense is supposed to be the strength of that team. So as much as it pains me to pick the Cardinals to do anything, I will take the Cardinals. Let's go to Jersey now. The Jets are hosting the Patriots. Gangrene is getting 2.5 points, BLG. This is like revenge for the Jets, right? They have not beaten the Patriots in like forever. And now it finally looks like there's a little chaos with the Patriots quarterback situation. The Jets defense has kind of been rolling a little bit. Are you going gangrene?
I have to. Zach Wilson's been so bad, and that's, I have a tough time. He has there's so clearly like a quarterback away. I have such a tough time reconciling that, but they've done it enough now where I'm like, okay, they can kind of, it doesn't matter almost how he plays. As long as he doesn't turn the ball over, he doesn't need to, just don't turn the ball over, just be lackluster, but don't turn the ball over and they can win. I know the Breece Hall injury is big. And what was the other big injury? Oh, Elijah Vera Tucker, also IR. So those are some big injuries, but I mean, Patriots are kind of frauds if we're being honest. Bill Belichick under 500 since Tom Brady has left, by the way, 20 and 21 now. This is a huge stretch for both of these teams because they play each other in, or at least I think for the Patriots, 3 of the next 4 games. There's like a bye week in there. But that's huge. Like, this is a chance for the Jets, who are like, you know, coming back and maybe they're back. This is like, they can bury the Patriots. They have a chance to do that here. And I'm going to say they start to do that and they're home dogs. I like the points there. I'll take them.
You mentioned Bill Belichick's records since Tom Brady left. Robert Saleh, is he undefeated since the receipts comment?
I mean, he is. Like,
I thought they'd one more loss than that.
I'm fairly certain that he's undefeated since the receipts comment. Like, And it was funny because after their first win after that, it was like, oh, well, you got the win. You got us. No, he has like built upon that. I'm kind of bummed at the NFL this year because, like, I would love to view this as like a king-making game for the Jets, right? Like, you beat the big bad Patriots in the division. It's not. Like, if they win, it won't have that energy to me. I think the Jets win handily. It is a bummer about Breece Hall, but Michael Carter is talented, as mentioned. The Jets find a way. The Patriots are terrible. I do think it's a new thing. I don't know if y'all are tracking this, but the Packers can surpass the Bears to become the NFL's like most all-time winningest franchise. And they've been able to do that for like 5 weeks or something and haven't been able to because Aaron Rodgers stinks. And the Bears won on Monday night. So they widened the gap now that Green Bay has to overcome. I kind of think we might be here in this like Bill Belichick passing George Halas thing for a little while.
As BLG notes in the chat, the Jets lost to the Bengals 2 weeks after the receipts.
But like, well, that was payback for the Mike White game. That makes sense.
You know what I like about the Jets, though? Like, They've got swag, man. Robert Saleh had a little swag when he said that. He also talked about, hey, keep trying to throw at Sauce. Like, he's really good. They have got confidence. The vibes with the Jets right now are great. The vibes with the Patriots, like, what is going on? Bill Belichick is like playing musical chairs with his quarterbacks. He told everybody that he informed the team they were going to use two quarterbacks. Then Zappi was like, I didn't know I was going to go in. Other players don't know what's going on. He's running things like it's his first year as coach. It's really, really weird. I don't like anything happening with New England right now, and I'm getting points in this game, and the Jets are at home. I will take the Jets, and I will take the 2.5 points.
You mentioned Bailey Zappi stats. You didn't mention, we talked about this on Monday night. We kind of inspired Bailey Zappi with the Zap segment. Like, we started the Zap segment, and then all of a sudden, Bailey Zappi kind of became a thing for the Patriots. So he has us to thank.
And then Belichick zapped him this week because they're going back to Mac Jones. It seems like.
It's just a weird, like, I don't even understand, like, why is everybody so quick to turn on Mac Jones? Like, they made the playoffs with him last year. It's not like he was like so terrible his rookie year, and now he's also playing bad this year. It seems like a quick turn in New England
because they want Tom Brady. They want the story. You know what I'm saying? They want the, like, out of note. They want to be like, we did it again. You know, like, that's exactly why they're so impatient.
Great call.
Turns out you can't find your quarterback in the late rounds all the time. Next game on the slate, let's go to New Orleans. The Raiders are in New Orleans. The Saints are giving a point. RJ?
I don't have a lot to say about this, except for these are both teams that Russell Wilson reportedly wanted to play for, which says a lot about Russell Wilson. But I don't believe in the Raiders a ton. I don't feel like they dominated the Texans, like Brandon sort of made mention of in his lock. I think that they just kind of outlasted them. And if you can kind of barely outlast the Texans, you got some problems. But the Saints have a lot of problems in and of their own right. The Saints trading away their, I have no idea how the Saints and Broncos both traded away their first round picks and got significantly worse.
Well, at least the Broncos did it for like a quarterback, right? Like, the Saints didn't do it for that.
I mean, that's fair. But like
they tried
nothing,
to do something at the most important position, and the Saints didn't.
We've been saying this, like, what do the Saints have? Like, if I gave you the choice and you could have one thing from the Saints, like, Brandon, right now, I know it'd be Alvin Kamara because of all the, like, rumors and stuff. But, like, what do they have that you're like, man, that is cool. I really want to watch that. No, it's all clunky. Like, it's all just gross and bothersome. I mean, they're debating between Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston. How? Like, how are you in that bad of a bind in 2022? It's impossible. But I'll take the Raiders.
They do have that one guy. What's his name? I forget. Like, the explosive guy. He has like two touches and two touchdowns, or he did at one point there. The fast receiver. Why can't I think of his name? I'm looking at their depth chart right now.
If you don't know his name,
Rashid Shaheed, the rookie. Rashid Shaheed, which is a great name, by the way. That's like the one thing that is very exciting. Right. He looks
Chris Olave is not great. Let's overlook him and find a different person to talk about.
I mean, that's the low hanging fruit. I will take the Raiders. I already made them my lock of the week. By the way, the Saints currently owe the number 4th overall pick in the 2023 NFL draft to the Eagles. So
there's your obligatory mention. Glad we got that in. The Saints had the perfect opportunity to just reboot everything, right? Drew Brees retired. Sean Payton left the team. Like, they could have traded off some of the few pieces they have here and build this thing back up. And instead, they've traded away their first round pick. They brought back Jameis Winston, who's now not even the starter. I just don't get the plan in New Orleans. I'm a known Saints hater. I don't apologize for it, but at least I openly admit it. I will take the Raiders, and I will give the measly 1 point. Next up on our slate, we're going to Detroit. The Dolphins are in town. The Lions are getting 3.5 points, BLG. When are we going to admit that the Lions just stink? I know everybody likes Dan Campbell. Guess what? Same old Lions.
Yeah, I mean, part of it's just so take the Dolphins.
Yeah, RJ. I didn't want to give Brandon an opportunity to be like, well, the Dolphins are really going to bounce back against this crappy Lions team. No,
they had a good practice against the Eagles.
Yeah, I was there. It was so cool. The Lions stink out loud. I'm totally with you, Stats. Like, when are we going to stop giving Dan Campbell credit for nothing? Like, it's every single week. Oh, well, they kind of looked good. They were in the fourth quarter against the Cowboys. Like, the bar is so low for him. They are the same old Lions. Like, nothing about them has changed. Cool. They traded away Matthew Stafford. They got some first. But Jameson Williams is coming back. He's going to make the – okay, cool. You had 6 points in the fourth quarter against the Cowboys. People got hurt. It's the NFL. Find a way. You're supposed to be this tough, gritty dude. No, losers. I'll take the Dolphins, even though I don't believe in them that much either.
I just feel like when Dan Campbell was hired, we were all like, what are they doing? And then – he got behind
the
podium.
He was like, well, there's all these former players. It's such an innovative staff. Ah!
Turns out he's funny and right and animated, and he gives good press conference, and it's good for reporters and beat writers and clips on Twitter. They stink. They're not any good. And if there's one thing I'm familiar with, it's a crappy Lions team, because they have been crappy for my entire 37 years on this planet. Give me the Dolphins, 3.5, 4.5, 8.5. Miami's going to boat race the Lions. Now, let's go to Philadelphia. The Steelers are in town to take on the Eagles. The Eagles are giving 10.5 points, RJ. By the way, did you know these two teams once combined to make a single franchise called the Steagles?
I want to give a huge shout out to the listeners of the NFC East mixtape for tagging me. I really don't know if you've seen this yet, Stats, and Brandon does know because I told him. The Eagles social team did like a video on this, like on the history of it all, and they posted on Instagram and TikTok. So all of our mixologists were tagging me because this is the lowest hanging fruit. Stop this, NFL teams. We know the NFL, you had an NFL 100 campaign. You've been around for a century. We know all these stories. You don't have to tell us them all the time. That being said, the Steelers are really bad.
No one's talking about it.
The Eagles just talked about it. They just did this. And I guarantee you, I know Stats will agree with this. It will be brought up in the first 5 minutes of the broadcast on Sunday.
Maybe for one second.
No, and it will be said like, in a, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but they used to be one team. These guys, this Keystone State. Nah, grow up. Come on. Tell us something new. Talk about Jalen Hurts wearing Astros gear. That is less boring than this. Even though the photo's old, whatever. Yeah, I'll take the Eagles to win, but I'll take the Steelers to cover. It's a lot of points. Mike Tomlin a little bit plucky. That's a lot, but Eagles win handily.
It is a lot of points. There haven't been a lot of points scored in the league this year. You know, it's not really been an offensive year, more of a defensive year on the whole. So that's certainly something to consider. But Steelers have the worst point differential in the NFL, baby. Like, they've not been good. Think about their two wins too. Okay, so the Steelers have two wins this year. One was in week one against the Bengals. It came in overtime by 3 points. Before the Bengals found themselves, and in a game where the Steelers, I think, had like 5 picks or whatever it was, or like 5 takeaways, and they still only won by 3 points in overtime. And then also they had TJ Watt at the time too, which is kind of a big deal. They don't have him for this game and haven't had him. And their other win is a 2-point win against the Bucks, who are clearly not good, and then got blown out by the Panthers. So like those are their two wins this year. So I think I'm comfortable taking the Eagles coming off of their bye. Steelers haven't won in Philly since 1965. Not to say that means everything, but it's like, is really this going to be the time that they change that? I don't think so. Eagles have been a good team all year, and I think they're going to keep it rolling. They just added Robert Quinn, which is a nice little boost to their pass rush here. It does sound like he's going to play this week. I think he ends up having some kind of big play in this game, forced fumble, big sack or whatever. I feel pretty confident about the Eagles moving to 7-0 and covering the spread.
We always talk about like, oh, the Rams. The Rams are all in. They're pushing their chips. The Niners traded for Christian McCaffrey. They're all in. I feel like it's weird. I feel like in the offseason, Howie Roseman was like, should we try to win a Super Bowl? Okay, let's try and win a Super Bowl. And all the Eagles have done since then is just add quality player after quality player to this team. And like you said, BLG, they go out this week. They make the trade for Robert Quinn. They don't give up 4 picks like the 49ers did to acquire Christian McCaffrey, but they get a very solid player. And I just look, I feel so much better about my Eagles pick to make the Super Bowl. They look like clearly the best team in the NFC. They have absolutely loaded up. And there's been somebody on this show that has slandered Howie Roseman for years.
Yeah, I can't believe RJ did that.
He is crushing it right now. I'll take the Eagles. I'll give the 10.5. I know it's a lot, but they're coming off a bye. Forget the Steelers. Mike Tomlin, it ain't it this year. It ain't happening. The Eagles are the best team in the NFL, and they will show it against the Steelers.
The NFL as a whole.
That's right.
Better than the Bills? Better than the Chiefs?
Yes. Did I stutter? Best team in the NFL.
The only thing I wanted to say, Stats, I disagree that this is like the Eagles going all in. This is just how they build their roster, which is like a testament to Howie Roseman. Like, and I know that's been said about the Rams. Like, so I don't view this as like a, we have to go now. No, like, what was it, Brandon? He's made a trade at the deadline every year since like 17, except for 20.
Since 2017, yeah. Except for 2020. So like
this is just par for the course, which again, it's a very good course. That's my point.
You're also, right. The analogy.
Well, it's not truly like all in because again, there's still this fourth overall pick in the draft. Like they can even go more in if they want.
They've got the most money in the pot, but they also have the most money on the stack sitting next to them. So you're right. That's a good point. The analogy doesn't really hold up. Let's go to Dallas now. Bears at Cowboys. Speaking of big spreads, Cowboys given 9.5. RJ, I'll start with you. Justin Fields starting to look a little better. You getting a little nervous here?
The Cowboys were the first team in the NFC East to trade for a defensive lineman this week as they sent a 2023 sixth round pick to the Las Vegas Raiders for Jonathan Hankins. But oh, the Eagles are all in. Oh, whatever stats. Anyway,
you gave a run stuffing defensive tackle. What a
well, they needed that. They needed that. That was their one weakness. I mean, honestly, defensively. And so they've addressed that. And so good for them. I'm not worried about Justin Fields. I've jumped ship on that a long time ago. Matt Eberflus returning to the Cowboys or returning to AT&T Stadium. He has faced off against the Cowboys since leaving one time. That was as the defensive coordinator for the Frauds. I don't say their name anymore. And that was a bit of an extenuating circumstance. Dallas had just beaten Philly in that super emotional overtime game, Brandon, in 2018. So hard to put a lot of stock into that. I think the Cowboys win easily. Doesn't seem like Zeke Elliott's going to play. I don't think that they would go about things that way if they were not on bye next week. But they have an opportunity to get to 6-2, give Zeke some extra time to get right, maybe see a full game workload of Tony Pollard, maybe throw the ball a little bit more with Dak Prescott, who looked, you know, certainly much closer to a franchise quarterback than Cooper Rush in his debut last week. Darryl's pointing up for the Cowboys. Micah Parsons has 8 sacks in the NFL. He has the most 2-sack games at this early in his career than anybody ever. I know that's a really oddly specific stat, but he was credited with a sack that he initially wasn't last week. It kind of became a story.
Yeah, after he started crying to the NFL about it.
So you're sad that Nick Bosa sucks compared to Micah Parsons.
Weak
I get it.
Sauce.
Right. Anyway, Cowboys win. I don't think they cover. Just that's a lot of points, but they win pretty easily.
I am not making a habit of betting on Justin Fields. Very much the opposite. It's so pathetic. Dude, he's so the most, he's easily the most overrated player in the NFL. People want him to be so much better than he is. Tell me I'm wrong. It's just like, I see the timeline on Monday night. I didn't even watch the full game because, you know, I had stuff going on. I did check some of it, but like, so all the hype that I saw, like from Twitter, and then I checked the box score, doesn't even have 200 passing yards, has 13 completions, doesn't even run for 100 yards, had 4 fumbles. Managed to somehow not lose any of them, had 4 fumbles. And this is like, Justin Fields is amazing. Don't sleep on him. He's turning the corner. Like, really? Like, this? Like, the bar is so low for him. He's been bad, which this is going to be amazing if the Cowboys do lose this game to Justin Fields of all
right,
people.
You can't lose this week,
oh, my
BLG.
God. Yeah, well, I mean, that would be great for me. So, yes, I hope he did actually turn a corner because that would be awesome for me. The other thing about this game that RJ wants to bring up and has brought up on his TikTok or whatever is like, oh, the Eagles may have helped the Cowboys because, you know, they took
Robert Quinn away. Thank you for
following
me on TikTok.
Away from, oh, I saw it on Instagram. You can follow me on Instagram at Brandon Young.
It was my point. Let me phrase it.
Yeah, you bring it up because it's silly. Okay. Let's hear it.
It was admittedly silly. It was fun. So, stats. The Chicago Bears traded away Robert Quinn to the Philadelphia Eagles, right?
Right.
This week of all weeks. What if the Cowboys wind up winning the NFC East, right? Like, that's a hypothetical, fun hypothetical. And what if they wind up winning the NFC East by one game? I don't think any of us think that the Bears are going to win, you know, even with Robert Quinn. But what if the Cowboys win the division by one game? If you're the Eagles, would you have not rather waited until Monday to trade for Robert Quinn? You just made a game easier for your top competitor for the division. It's an interesting subplot.
Yeah, but not the Eagles also made a game easier for themselves. And Brandon Graham is dealing with a hamstring injury right now, so they maybe needed that extra depth sooner than later. Also, if the Cowboys lose to Justin Fields and they lose to the Bears without Robert Quinn, man, that'll be delicious. But I don't think it's going to happen because I can't bet on Justin Fields. I will take the Cowboys to cover the 9.5 spread.
I'm going to take the Cowboys to cover as well. When you have a defense that's as good as the Cowboys defense looks, you chew up and spit out bad quarterbacks. And you can say what you want about Justin Fields looking better. And I brought it up because I had a feeling it was going to trigger you, Brandon. He's a bad quarterback. He's going to get destroyed by this defense. Give me the Cowboys. Give me that. They're going to have more than likely some short fields. The 9.5 looks bigger than I think it'll play in this game. So I'll take the Cowboys to cover. Last game, Panthers at Falcons. Wow. Falcons giving 4.5 points.
Wow.
What?
I was going to say two quick things. One, Cowboys are wearing their Navy jerseys and the Bears are wearing their orange helmets. This is a gross uniform matchup. Disgusting. But I know that you think they're brown, Stats, because of the orange thing that we hinted at. And I just wanted to trigger you, Stats. I think the class of 2020 quarterbacks might be terrible all the way through. Like, who is good from that quarterback class right now?
Yeah, who's the top one Justin you would Fields. Take, Stats, besides Trey Lance? Because obviously you're going to say Trey Lance.
Well, yeah. Trey Lance, on him. I feel like Trey Lance is unknown. I feel right. like we know about the other guys.
This is my logic because RJ asked me this question on the mixtape. Who would you take after Trey Lance? Let's say you're talking about Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields. Who am I missing? What's his name? Texans guy.
Davis Mills.
Davis Mills.
I guess Davis Mills.
I said 20, by the way, 21, just to be clear.
21. Yeah, I was going to say. I guess Davis
Mac Mills. Jones.
Mac Jones.
Yeah, I guess. It doesn't tough. Matter. Like,
the odds of Trey Lance coming back and becoming a franchise quarterback are long, right? Like, you would admit that, Stats, at this point, certainly. So, like, we're looking at, like, a potentially disastrous quarterback class. Because it was the first, like, what, and I think you know this off the top of your head, like, the first in whatever that had, like, three quarterbacks taken in the top three. Like, you're talking about, like, all-time gaffe as far as a class is concerned.
I have a quick tangent to bring up because RJ mentioned the uniforms thing. And I saw him share on Instagram, I guess. I don't know. Or you retweeted it. Someone tweeted out, I guess MLB official account on Twitter, the Phillies versus the Astros, like pictures of their throwback uniforms. Because they said, like, this is probably one of the best throwback uniforms you could get. And I don't disagree. Do you think they should do that for, like, a World Series game? Shouldn't they do that for, like, one of the games? There's seven games. Shouldn't they do that for, like, one of them? That'd be cool.
Well,
like,
there aren't necessarily seven games, but...
Well, I mean, in theory. Like, you know, there's at least four. So, like, I think there's enough room to do that. Yeah.
But they won't, because baseball's stupid.
A general point, just not even in baseball, I think there should be more alternates in, like, championship games. Not, like, every championship game has to have that, but I think it should be more common that can happen.
Especially if they're universally agreed upon as, like, great.
Right.
Ones. Like, I think all baseball fans would agree these are solid ones. Like, and they're meeting in the World Series. Like, you should do it. I mean,
kind of like a power move, honestly. If, like, you wear your alternates, like, yeah, these are our cool uniforms. Watch out.
Let's go to Atlanta. Panthers, Falcons, BLG. Falcons giving 4.5. Zap.
I'm glad. I don't want to talk about this. I will take the Falcons 4.5.
The Panthers just now ruled out Chuba Hubbard for this game. So if you were thinking about taking the Panthers, Stats, don't do it. Also, Rachel, a reminder, you have the, like, last zap. So please don't use it on me. I'll take the Falcons.
I will take the Falcons and give the 4.5 as well. Who cares about the Panthers? Let's get to the late games. The Giants are in Seattle to take on the Seahawks. Seahawks giving 3 points, RJ.
Like I said, I thought about locking this game up, but then I realized I'm not a stupid person, so I didn't do it. I think the Giants could win.
RJ got zapped by Rachel. Now we can hear Rachel's take on the game.
Sorry, RJ. I had to.
Love it. Great job.
I'm going to give it to the Seahawks for this game because even though you got to give credit where it's due to the Giants, you know, shout out to them for Daniel Jones taking care of the ball. One, their defense has been looking pretty good, but I feel like this is going to be a test for them. And so I'm banking on Geno Smith. One, like, he's been taking his shot full as the full-time starter. I think he's been looking really, really good. Also, I'm really impressed by their defense. Like, their rookie cornerbacks have been looking really, really good. Woolen is tied in the league with 4 interceptions in the lead, and Kobe Bryant leads the league with 4 forced fumbles. And so I'm going to bank on the Seahawks winning this game. Sorry, RJ, had to do it.
I want to give Rachel the MFM double MVP or whatever from this show for that. That was a great drop in by her. I'm taking the Seahawks too. I wanted to make them my lock of the week. I think the Seahawks are kind of being underrated. I would say sitting atop the NFC as the Eagles are, team that might scare me the most, like, is the Seahawks. Because you look by any advanced metric, they're high. Geno is high in those categories, like DVOA, PFF grade, anything you want, EPA. Like, he's high up in all those. The Seahawks are the 7th overall team in DVOA, whereas the Giants are only 14th. I think they're a little bit better than that record indicates. Geno Smith's playing like a top quarterback in the league. Like, it's a weird thing to reconcile that, like, he has not been a top quarterback in the league, but he's very much playing like one. And I'm a big Kenneth Walker believer. I think the Giants are a good team. They're a team that hangs around. They're a team that doesn't beat themselves, which is really a big change for them from previous years. They have much better coaching than they've had. So I'm not trying to disrespect the Giants here, but I think we can all admit, like, it has to run out at some point. Like, they can't keep, like, there's always these one score games and they've been down in them and they find a way to get it through it at the end. Like, eventually there's some good luck in there, and that luck is not going to continue. I think the Seahawks are going to win at home, and I think this is going to be the Giants' second loss of the season.
I already made my pick earlier. I took the Giants for no good reason whatsoever. They've been playing better. I don't want to believe in Geno Smith, but, like, how long does he have to do it before you start to say, like, maybe he's just going to be really good for the entire season? But my random method, pick the Giants, so I have to stick with the Giants because I'm trying to improve my locks, and I've been terrible so far. So give me the Giants. Next up, the Niners travel to SoFi Stadium, which is sort of their stadium because they always take it over, and they're going to do it again this week. They are playing the Rams. The Rams are getting 1.5 points. RJ?
Thanks for listening to my lock of this. I've already said all I have to say. Go Niners. I'm not upset about Rachel at all.
Brandon?
What is it? Like 8-0 or 7-0 in their last whatever regular season games that the 49ers are. I mean, they just own the matchup. I don't think Christian McCaffrey trading for him was a good move, by the way. But whatever. Maybe he'll help this week.
That was just, like, really weird to throw in a week afterwards, but okay.
Well, I just don't think sarcastic with you. I hope
I don't think it's a good move. And yeah, 7-game regular season losing streak. That's where Sean McVay is at with Kyle Shanahan. So, I mean, why not give the 49ers the benefit of the doubt here in this matchup when they've consistently owned that matchup?
I'm not giving the 49ers the benefit of the doubt in this one. Kyle Shanahan is doing so many dumb things all at the same time. He's actively making it harder for the 49ers to win. Jimmy Garoppolo is throwing behind the line of scrimmage 23% of the time. No wonder they can't score any damn points. They're not trying to, it feels like. And I know that they've owned the Rams in recent years, but, like, at some point that is going to end. And even their first game this year, the Rams are driving down the field to take the lead because Kyle Shanahan continues to kick field goals and punt on fourth down when he shouldn't. And Talanoa Hufanga totally bails them out by intercepting a screen pass, running it in for a touchdown that iced the game. So it's not like the Niners have been dominating the Rams. I don't like anything happening with the offense right now. Deebo Samuel's banged up and probably won't play. So it's kind of like, hey, Christian McCaffrey, save us a little bit. I just don't like anything going on with the Niners right now. The Rams are getting points in this game. It's going to probably be a close game no matter who wins it. So I will take the Rams, and I will take the points. Why are you shaking your head, RJ? What did I say that was wrong?
I mean, dude, they dominated the Rams last time. Now you're trying to act like it was, like, some close game they barely eked out. What was the pressure rate on Matthew Stafford in that game?
Oh, it was absurd. He was under pressure on, like, 35% of his dropbacks. But it's not the same
defense. Who's the quarterback playing for the Rams on Sunday?
Matthew Stafford.
Right. I mean, like, I think you're a little bit upset about last week. It's a good team. Be confident. Like,
the game, I don't know about a good team.
It's a good team in this NFL.
I think it was in the fourth quarter, there was 6 minutes left, and the Rams are almost at midfield driving with a chance to tie the game. Like, it's not like the Niners blew them out. That pick by Talanoa Hufanga saved the 49ers in that game. I'm just saying. They're not going to beat the Rams from now until the end of time. Let's go Titans in Houston to play the Texans. Texans getting 2.5 points, BLG.
I'll stick with the Titans. They're atop of the AFC. They're in a really good position now to three-peat. Obviously, a lot of season left, but after sweeping the Colts like they just did and establishing themselves at the top of the AFC South there, and the Jags reeling and the Texans not really threatening probably here, Titans can continue to strengthen that position. And I know not everyone took them, Reed. No one took them seriously last year as the one seed. But still, to three-peat in their division is still, you know, it's a nice thing. So I think they're well on their way to doing that, and I think they will win here again and cover.
When we made our predictions at the beginning of the season, I toyed around with the idea that maybe the Texans could win the AFC South because it's that bad. And I think that that part of things is true. But that was predicated on Davis Mills kind of just being functional and competent. That just isn't happening. Damian Pierce is a lot of fun. Other than that, like, man, the Texans are in such a weird spot. Like, I don't know. Like, you can kind of talk yourself into teams that are bad that have a lot of draft capital the way the teams did the Lions, right? Like, you can kind of get behind that cause. But, like, do you really feel that way about the Texans? Like, what? Who's their head coach going to be next year? Like, who's their quarterback? Like, I have so many – like, if you had to buy a Texans – if I was, like, stats, you want a contest. You're going to have the autograph of any Texans person that you want. Who would you pick besides Damian Pierce? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it would be hard. Like, it's just – it's a weird, wonky team. Go Stros.
I don't care about either team in this game. I'm just disappointed because it looks like Ryan Tannehill is going to play, so we don't get to see Malik Willis. That would have at least made it interesting to me. I'll take the Titans. They're the better team than the Texans. I'll give the 2.5 points. Let's go to Indianapolis now. Speaking of the AFC South, the Commanders are in town to take on the Colts. Matt Ryan benched BLG. Enter Sam Ehlinger, RJ's favorite quarterback of all time. The Colts are giving points in this game, which is stunning to me, considering they just benched their quarterback. Where are you going?
Last thing I did want to touch on with the Texans is they do have some hope. They have the number 2 overall pick and number 5 overall pick via Cleveland currently. So that's a nice little thing for them. And I also think they're going to be able to sell some of their pieces after they lose to the Titans ahead of the deadline next week. Brandon Cooks has been mentioned. There's other names on their roster there that have been brought up, I believe, you know, like a Rasheem Green as well, like just a lot of different Jerry Hughes. They have a bunch of different pieces there that they can kind of sell. Desmond King. So there you go, Texans fans. Colts, I'll take the Colts, not because I tremendously believe in them, but the Commanders have some issues. Jahan Dotson is still hurt, and Heinicke, I think, gives them a chance every week, but, you know, he's a backup still for a reason. There's a limited ceiling there. Matt Ryan has been so bad that I feel like Ehlinger and having the ability to run around a little bit can give them some kind of boost. Just like when there's a boost sometimes for a new head coach, I think there can be a little bit of a boost for a new quarterback. I've seen it happen before. So do I feel incredible about this? No, I would stay away from taking this game at all. But if I have to make a pick, which I do legally on this show, I will take the Colts. Why not?
I'll take the Commanders. The Colts are the biggest frauds that we have seen in some time. Like, they are kings of fraudulency. They are atop fraud mountain. They are the only inhabitants of planet fraud. And now this, like, oh man, you know, Sam Ehlinger, he's been ready. Like, we believed in him. Like, he has all this talent. Then why'd you trade for Matt Ryan? Huh? Why? Like, I hate every time they speak, it is dripping with fraud sauce. It is so annoying. Like, Frank Reich, like, I know you guys are down, but I believe in this team. Why? I would like to hear the why. Like, why? What has this team shown for you to believe in them? And, like, I hate the, like, he's like, you know, they work hard every day. Are you watching every other team work hard? Like, I bet you they work hard. Like, but you're only, like, this is such a limited scope. It's so stupid. I can't believe anybody talked themselves into the Colts over the offseason. I'm very proud of exposing them here on the SB Nation NFL show, being the only person to do so over the last few years. Neither of you had anything to do with it.
Inaccurate. I was the one who killed them for the Wentz trade at the time.
I hate the, like, Matt Ryan of this all. Like, they got so lucky that Matt Ryan was even available, which was it was a bad trade, but they act like, oh well, we traded for Matt Ryan. Yeah, because the Falcons were in on the Deshaun Watson thing and Matt wanted out. Like, what if that had not happened? Well, who would it have been Sam Ehlinger? What would they have done at the most important position in the game? And now, I mean, I look, Matt Ryan is a really accomplished player, Hall of very good, you know, has an MVP. Good for you, Matt. I hope you enjoy your life with your family. But this, like, man, Matt Ryan came to the Colts and now he's ready to back up Sam Ehlinger. Like, the guy is all class. He stinks. Like, we can just say it. Like, he's really bad. Like, we don't have to, like, over glamorize Matt Ryan. Everything the Colts do is fraudulent. Commanders.
Yeah, I got to go Commanders in this one. Sam Ehlinger, no thanks. I don't love the Commanders either, but in the battle of bad, someone must win. And at least the Commanders are getting points. So I'll take Washington.
Wait, so that means that Brandon is in the icebox.
Fun fact about the icebox.
Winter is coming.
Burr! I'm in the icebox.
You know, I've been in the ice. I was in the icebox with the Giants, but nobody said anything. All right.
You don't deserve it.
Football, Packers, Bills. The Bills are giving 11 points. And I don't think anybody is surprised or particularly worried about it, RJ.
Aaron's like, oh, this might be the best thing for us. Like, remember that time when I said relax 8 years ago and then we went on a great winning streak? Okay, cool. They're so bad. They are awful. And I will say, from a content standpoint, I do enjoy Aaron Rodgers' appearance on Pat McAfee. I think that paved the way for a lot of things. It's like Josh Allen's on with Kyle Brandt every week. I think that's cool. Like, do things. Like, let us
quarterbacks have been appearing on shows weekly forever.
But it is different. It is different, like, in today's day and age. And so I appreciate that. I do appreciate the, like, alleged authenticity. But, man, dude, like, there are 9 fingers pointing everywhere else for Aaron Rodgers and 1 big one pointing right back at him. Like, everything is everyone else's fault. I just want to say that since the beginning of last season, Mike McCarthy's Cowboys have more wins than Matt LaFleur's Packers. Bills.
Anyone taking the Packers here? Is anyone taking the Packers anywhere? Like, since he, like, yeah, is he even? Did Justice take them?
No, I don't think he is.
How could you? The vibes are they the worst team in terms of vibes in the NFL? Right, have to be, right? Like, just pure vibes. Again, calling out his teammates and like, it has to be the worst. Has to be the worst vibes.
What if he retires at the end of the season? Like, is that, are we putting that outside the realm of possibility?
At the end or during the season?
At the end.
Okay.
He's had 1 foot out the door for the past couple years anyway. So
Dragon King stats.
That's the thing. Sorry, Seth. Go ahead.
It's gross to me that Aaron Rodgers, like, points the finger at everybody else. Meanwhile, he is a huge source of their problems. What do we always say about franchise quarterbacks, right? Even if they don't have the greatest things around them, they are supposed to elevate those around him. And he has. For the past 2 seasons, I think Rodgers has. He's coming off back-to-back MVPs. This year, he's not happy with the receivers they got. He's not running the offense the way it's meant to be run. And I feel like when people are starting to criticize him now, what he's going to do is, instead of honestly assessing his play and figuring out what's going on, he's going to double down. It can't be me. I'm not wrong. Everybody else is making mental errors. And I think it's just going to keep snowballing. I'm not saying they're going to lose every game for the rest of the year. I think they're going to get undressed on national television. Give me the Bills.
The Bills are 5-0 in games after the bye under Sean McDermott, who comes from the Andy Reid tree, who Andy Reid is infamously, like, amazing after the bye for, like, 1 or 2 losses at most and a bunch of wins. So I think there's something to that, too. Is everything working in the Packers' favor? And this is really, like, this is the ultimate, like, take your medicine moment in terms of, like, you're on prime time. You're going to get, like, totally just, like, everyone knows the Packers have been struggling, but now it's, like, on full display for everyone to see. And, wow. Again, who could have thought this would have happened? I mean, this is, like, going back to what we said last year, I think the concern and the weirdness about Rodgers in the summer, I think I remember saying this to you, Stats, on the podcast, rest in peace, was, like, I was concerned about what would happen if that team got punched in the mouth. Like, I don't think they'd be able to recover from that. And I think that's what we're seeing with this Packers team. I don't think they have a run in them. I think they got punched in the mouth and they have nothing to respond to. I don't know what, just like what I said with Brady, like, what is left here for Aaron Rodgers? You know, you guys don't have to keep playing football. I mean, it would have been crazy for Rodgers to retire heading into the season.
No, he needs another Super Bowl. He desperately needs another Super Bowl.
But, like, sure. Okay. There's definitely more left for Rodgers than Brady, but still at this point, it's just like, but they don't look like they're not having fun. You know what I mean? It's just what is left at that point. You're just doing it because you feel like you have to. Not great. So give me the Bills.
I will say this to your point, and I really think this is objectively true about getting punched in the mouth. Both Dallas and Green Bay got punched in the mouth by your team stats, the San Francisco 49ers. And that was a big thing for the Cowboys this past offseason. I can tell y'all, they said, we got to get more physical. Like, we got to be nasty. We got to be bullies. We got to get some glass eaters. Like, that was their whole thing because they were out physical. I mean, they really were. And it feels like they addressed that in a way that the Packers didn't. The Packers thought they could just be, like, front runners about this. They thought they could just be, we're Aaron Rodgers. And so they doubled down. I will give the Cowboys that credit for adjusting and leaning into what they viewed needed to be their strength. Meanwhile, the Packers just have not. And if anything, Aaron Rodgers is kind of, like, emblematic of it all. Like, they just want to pick up their ball and go home. Like, well, you punched me again. Like, no, it's not my fault. Like, you know, like, we just got to change the rules. We got to do whatever. That's really bad look for the Packers as a whole.
I feel like the Packers never address anything, I should say. Remember, The only first round pick that has ever caught a touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers is Mercedes Lewis, the ancient one at tight end, who was not even a first round pick of the Packers. So, like, I don't. Green Bay has totally mucked this whole thing up. Rodgers has mucked it up. They stink. Give me the Bills. I'll give the 11 points. Monday Night along Football.
Along those lines, something Justice has said is that Devontae, and like this has been noted, but like Devontae Adams wanted out because of this. Like this right. has been is the chickens coming home to roost or whatever. Like this is the consequences of your actions. Like people talk about like, oh, the Rams or the Eagles or like the all in teams or whatever. Like they're eventually going to have to pay the price. They don't, right? Like, cause they're creative and they find ways. But like when you're talking about like individual people, like that wears on people and you know, could they use Devontae Adams? Totally. But Aaron Rodgers made this bet.
Yes. And now he has to lie in it. Bengals, Browns on Monday Night Football. Cleveland is getting 3 points. RJ, one sentence. What do you got?
Lots of orange on Halloween. Bengals win.
BLG.
The Browns are not treading water well enough. Give me the Bengals to win.
Jamar Chase is out. It won't matter. Bengals to win. That's going to do it for this.
Stats, wait. Now we have to get a World Series prediction from you. You are the impartial one.
That's right.
I mean, the Astros haven't lost a single game this postseason.
That's right, Stats. You're right about that.
I mean, look, not to say
is that like a burn? He's
not to say that they're going to go through the entire postseason without losing, but over seven games, the better team generally wins. And as much as I hate to admit it, the Astros are really, really good.
I mean, Stats was wrong about the Phillies. He was wrong about his locks Astros of the week all the time. This guarantees a Phillies win, baby. Phillies Astros have not lost at home. Also, the Phillies have played more games.
The Astros haven't lost at all. That is such a stupid
The Phillies have
flex.
Played more games. Of course they've lost more. They played more games.
They haven't needed to play more games.
No, but they've also did. Yeah, but they also had to play in the wild card as well.
Look, the Astros are the better team. They have no weaknesses.
Everyone said the same thing about the Patriots.
No, they didn't. Not like this.
Yes, they did. Dude, the Eagles were underdogs in that game. Yes, absolutely. Right, so, people were picking the Patriots.
But that's one game.
A different sport 5 years ago has everything to do with the World Series.
There's a lot of similarities. I mean, Phillies are underdog team from Philadelphia.
Remember that time an underdog in sports won? Whoa.
Went against this team that was famous for cheating. It's probably still cheating. Looking at all the spin rates and everything, I definitely know what I'm talking about.
Spin rate is happening here with this, like, Phillies haven't lost at home, blah, blah, blah.
What is stats. The...
Astros in what? Yeah. Give us the actual prediction.
Astros in five.
And what is the bet that we have to do?
I think Stats should design it. Because we've designed our own before, right. I know it's high pressure.
Give me a little time. I got to come up with something. I can't just do it spur of the moment.
Show.
Right?
Reward the listeners. Let me know
what you think about this proposal. I was thinking we could just do, so, you know, last year when the Cowboys beat the Eagles, RJ made me change my avatar to a Blogging the Boys logo for the whole week. And there's a tweet in there as well. I don't think the tweet thing plays as well. Cause it's not like we have a bunch of necessarily, you know, like that's not our brand. We're not like baseball. The majority of our followers probably aren't, you know, the fans of the baseball teams we cover necessarily, or at least in, so we don't need to do the tweet maybe, but I think we should have to change our avatar to the winning team's logo. So like a Phillies logo for you and then a Astros logo for me.
I have an adjustment if you're okay with that. And if Stats is okay with that, since he's the high emperor here, to keep a company branded, assuming the Astros win, you have to change your Twitter avatar to the Crawford Boxes logo, which is the SB Nation's home for Houston Astros content.
That's fine. Wow. I don't think people are going to like get that as much. I don't think people are going to like realize that. I was thought about that, but
let me amend it a different way. Not just the logo, but like whichever team wins will change their own logo to say like world champs or what, you know what I'm saying? They'll have like a little design or whatever. It has to be that one. Like the one that the actual other team account.
Well,
is
we can pick. I can pick the logo for you. You can pick the logo for me.
Fine. Stats per week. Is that what we're saying?
Riveting content.
Well, Stats, you didn't have an idea at all. What's yours?
Yeah, this is on you.
How is this? I didn't even know we were doing this 10 seconds ago. That's going to do it for this edition of the show. Your bet is irrelevant. No one cares what your Twitter avatars are, okay?
You made a whole deal about not changing your Twitter avatar until Jimmy Garoppolo was benched.
That's right.
But I didn't think anybody else cared about that.
I care about it.
Well, you're weird. If you have a suggestion, leave it in your review. If you take the time to leave a review, we will take the time to read it. BLG, RJ Ochoa, enjoy the World Series. Enjoy Week 8, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.